Welcome to the Complete Cobblers Podcast.
Okay, welcome to the fourth, can you believe it, John? Fourth episode.
Fourth, yeah.
With me, Dave Lawler.
And me, John Rhodes. Good evening and welcome.
Yeah. Okay, is there anywhere in particular you'd like to go? I mean, just to say, still doing, it's great to see the viewing figures and we've spread to another country. Spain is in the mix now. I just presume it's either folk on holiday or expats or something. It's either that or I'll have to start speaking. Hablo español un poco, ¿sí?
Ah, oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Okay, John, before we get into it this week, we can just maybe go back to the last and final part of the interview with Lesh.
Yeah, I must say, listening back to it, it's just been an amazing journey for what you and Lesh have done. And yeah, very interesting man. We'll have to get him back again.
And this one is how we set up the biggest charity yet.
Most charities in Bradford were all city centre based, and people with any disability or didn't have the means to travel or bus fares from A to B were excluded. And it was for that reason that I set up Bradford Metropolitan Food Bank. The reason we chose the name so we could reach a wider audience instead of just Bradford Food Bank, we called it Bradford Metropolitan. So it gives us a wider audience and people with any kind of disability could access it. And that went on. And then as time went on by, there's lots of other charities that set up and doing the same thing. So now there's food banks in Bradford in virtually most of the areas. Maybe some smaller, but not as big as what we are. There's only the Trussell Trust who came into Bradford, more or less took our name and called ourselves Bradford Food Bank. And we had a bit of a disagreement in the initial, but things have turned out all right now. We work very well together and we actually support smaller food banks because they haven't got the means. So we supply them with food parcels in order to give them to the clients. So Bradford's fairly well set up in any area. There's no reason.
The food bank doesn't deal directly with Joe Publer, does it? Organisations come to you.
That's right, yeah. And we give it to them. So an individual doesn't come to us because we don't know who that person is or their circumstances. There's a problem with some people, not all people, so we have to take note there. They'll go from one charity to another and then they'll spend the money elsewhere because the food's provided for. So what we do is we only deal with professional bodies. But what we do have, we have a structure in place if somebody's in desperate need. We do have a transport system where they pick up food and they'll deliver it to them. But it's not publicised, but it can be accessed by other professionals. They'll say the family's address, etc., and we'll get a food parcel to them.
And so, Lash, just to sort of finish up then, what can people do? How can they help? So you've got a website, bradfordmetropolitanfoodbank.com.
People can access us through there, and also Bradford Curry Project, they can access through there as well, and help us in any way they can. You know, some charities you'll find that may be religious based, but we're not like that. And also some charities will only say that you can have food 2, 3, or 4 times a year, but that doesn't happen with us. As long as that professional sees a need, it doesn't matter if it's once a month, twice a month, or a week, fortnightly. It doesn't really matter because what happens, the food belongs to the people and people trust us to give that to those who are in need.
Yeah.
That's what people do to us. So they've got faith in us that we'll do our best to provide food to the best of our ability. We're accountable to people.
Sure.
So, you know, so at the end of the day, it belongs to the people. We're just caretakers of that food.
Do you still need volunteers then?
No, everything. We do need volunteers in certain aspects with technical stuff and with fundraising.
Yeah.
But we've got everybody since the COVID has been here.
I was going to say, when COVID happened, like all the main people like yourself had to be screened, didn't you?
That's right.
So many people over the age of like 70 and what have you.
Only 74.
You don't look a day over 73.
So anybody that were over a certain age weren't actually allowed in.
Yeah.
And everything's computer controlled now. The structures had to be changed to comply.
Right.
You know, with the regulations.
But I guess they can make donations if they want.
Love to have donations. Cool. Because when we first started the food bank, we used to do about 80 bags a month if we were lucky. And at the peak of the COVID, we were doing well over 2,000.
Wow.
And average now is 1,200 to 1,500 a month. And that's with other food banks out there. That's not just us. But the reason ours will be bigger because we provide smaller food banks. We're providing for them as well.
Yeah. So is it the outlying food banks that come to you? So further out,
They're in the outer
areas.
I mean,
a lot of that food then was that from supermarkets and stuff that
Morrison's is one of our biggest donators, and we also get cash and carry warehouses ringing up.
Yeah,
you know, but most of the food, we have collection points in smaller. Like co-ops and that,
All right, so people can do just even a small tin, just put into a
just
collection
put them in a collection box, We have all them. And sometimes people drop off in cars on a certain day to make an appointment that we're coming.
Yeah.
So everything has to be logged, we can trace everything.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant, Lash. So just to recap, and we'll put a link in our show notes for the website.
Yeah.
But through BradfordMetropolitanFoodBank.com can access the food bank and the curry project?
No, the curry project's
a separate
identity.
Right, so it's
a separate identity.
If they just Google Bradford Curry Project.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, Lash, it's many years since I've seen you. You don't look any older than you are then. You know what? You certainly are one of the community heroes around here, and I take my hat off to you.
That's two of us, me and Dave.
Dave as well.
Yeah,
absolutely, Lush. Thanks for coming in
and
telling us all about it. Lushman Singh, everybody. Okay, where do you want to go? What do you fancy on the big, long list of some of his own stuff, some that people have sent in? Any tech you fancy? Shall I pick one?
Yeah.
So, bouncers in the 80s, when you... Do you remember bouncers in the
80s? I remember one incident in a nightclub.
I remember it very well. In fact, I think it was my fault, wasn't it? Didn't I? I think I knocked a pint glass and it fell, but nobody had noticed, and it was just stupid. Well, not stupid, I think quite reasonable. You end up with the base of a pint.
Yeah.
And I picked all the other bits up and put it in it, because I didn't want anybody to get cut or stand on it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't an asshole. I just knocked it. It was busy. And then I thought, I don't want to leave that hanging around. So I went to a bouncer and said, hey, mate, I've dropped this glass. And I picked all bits up. What shall I do with it? Well, he proceeded to twat me. And then you come flying in. Well, what are you doing? And they booted us up the stairs, down the stairs, out of VIPs, wasn't it? Then proper leathering, knocking seven bells out of us.
Yeah, I remember being kicked upstairs with it.
And then I seem to remember somebody saying he'd be back, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't think I want to broadcast what happened next.
Except I'd say this, and it's still there to this day, after what happened next, they put a railing up on the path outside the venue, so let's say, I don't know, nobody could get a vehicle on the path, for instance.
Well, that'd be good, because I can imagine some people would be irate enough to try and get inside the building in a vehicle, probably not an armed vehicle or anything like that, like a tank, but imagine there being an incident that would make him reflect on that.
Well, if you drive past now, I know it's not VIPs anymore, but that single piece of railing is still there.
I don't remember being sat in the
should
back
have
of
a
police.
Blue plaque on it, on it.
I remember being sat in the back of the police van looking for the one who'd bent my face into all things.
Yeah.
And then there were all these things coming through on the radio about they were looking for somebody who tried to do something. I don't know. It's all a blur.
Absolutely. Well, it comes very well onto the very next thing that says 70s and 80s, no CCTV. Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. I think people watched more then, because there wasn't telly all the time, there wasn't internet and all that. People were nosing out the curtains, so people did see what were going on the streets and this, that and the other. But I suppose, there's stuff. So I can't really think of all that springs to mind where CCTV would have helped that in the 70s or 80s, really.
Well, I can remember, I don't know, were you, did you used to do, I'm just trying to think if you were involved in this. We used to drink at like Lord Clyde and all that. I think we were at a point in time when Whitford were coming around with us as well, and there were, you know, the chalk snooker play up further up Sunbridge Road.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had like rubber plants in foyer, and apparently every week these plants were getting nicked and rolled down the street. And so this particular week, right, let's get a plant. And I think the foyer were like, you know, you came in and you went up half a dozen steps to get to the next floor, and all these fancy plants were down in, which kept disappearing every Friday night. Anyway, so this particular week, the rank police, this police car pulled up and said, stopped a few of us. Have you been anywhere near Chalk? No, I don't know what you're talking about. And do you know anything about this missing rubber plant and all this? And we're like, I ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Like, and we were just in complete denial, and we were just about to let it go because we know it could, no CCTV, nothing it could confirm. When Whit would come banging around the corner in a car with a rubber plant. Hey, lads, I've got it in here. Okay, other thing to say is we have been saying to people, send us a voice note, so people can do it one of two different ways. You can either, through the Facebook site, you could use Messenger, or if you're on Instagram, you follow us on Instagram, again, you can send us a message via a voice message via Instagram. And if you're on none of them, if you just go to our website, completecobblers.com, and you click on the listen page, you'll see you can send a voice note there. Quite straightforward. You just click record and then click send. And talking of which, friend of ours, you mentioned in the very first show, do you remember saying, congratulating him on being 10 years cancer-free?
Yeah.
Well, he sent this message in.
Hi, Dave. Hi, John. It's Mike Padden. Just to let you know that in 2 weeks' time, on the 18th of April, I'll be having my head shaved to help raise some money for Macmillan Cancer Support. They were really, really good with me when I was going through cancer and surgery and everything like that. And they've also helped other members of my family, and more recently, my friend Deborah, who died just before Christmas. If you can donate a tenner or more than that, that would be really, really good. If you can donate more than that, that's absolutely fine as well. I'm collecting money until the end of April, and then I'll send it all in, whatever I've raised then. So if everybody can be really generous, I'll send David the link so that we can put it up on the podcast. And dig deep, everybody. Thanks very much for all your help. Cheers, bye.
Brilliant.
Yeah, please, if you can.
A favour here, a favour there. It will all help out. Palliative care and places like Macmillan and Sue Ryder do it, you know. Do an amazing job. So well done, Mike. You're going to be a baldy. We'll follow up. We want some pictures and what have you.
Yes, yeah.
After the event, I've already sent you a couple of quid. So good luck with that, and well done, buddy.
Yeah, very well done, Mike. And I will I'll drop some in for you, because as most people, I think we've all been touched somewhere down the years by cancer.
I'm glad you said that. Because if you'd have just stayed, we've all been touched somewhere down the years.
yeah. Which, from Catholic schools, anyhow, we'll leave that there.
Yeah, no, well done, Mike. And yeah, everybody, if you're listening, wherever you are in the world, we've put a link in the show notes. You could drop a couple of quid towards Mike's effort for Macmillan Cancer Care. That'd be great.
Yep, well done, Mike.
Right, shall we do some factoids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cloud weighs around 1 million tons.
Wow, you wouldn't think them look right light and fluffy, do they?
Yeah.
Giraffes are 30 times more likely to get hit by lightning than people. Well, they wouldn't get hit by people, would
they? You've done me again. Oh dear. Identical twins don't have the same fingerprints.
Wearing a tie can reduce blood flow to the brain by 7.5%.
That explains a lot.
I wore a tie for quite a while.
Yeah. How many years did we have ties on? Yes. When we were growing, when we were supposed to be at our most intelligent.
Yeah.
This right, the world's oldest dog lived to 29.5 years old.
Wow,
that's human years, so that's times 7, is it, for a dog?
Yeah.
So that's 210
ish.
Just
200
years old.
Chainsaws were first invented for childbirth.
One in 18 people have a third nipple.
And that's a bigger number than I would have thought.
I have met somebody who's got three nipples.
So if you think, like, every class you're in at school, there's a good chance that one and a half people have three nipples.
Yeah.
Most ginger cats are male.
All mammals get goosebump bumps.
Easy for you to say. They get
goosebumps. Yeah, I'll do that again. All mammals get goosebumps.
You travel 2.5 million kilometres a day around the sun without realising.
I didn't know that. But that brings me on to, have you seen the ISS?
International Space Station. Have I seen it? No, you put a thing up, you took a picture.
Yeah, I have a tracker. It's an app on your phone. It tells you it's going to come across here at 60 odd degrees, and there's so much chance of you seeing it. See, we saw it a few weeks back. Came shooting across England.
Wow.
And you can see, you think, oh, how am I going to tell it? And you see planes, and all of a sudden you just see this bright thing, and it just goes so fast.
Right.
And you're like, that's...
I was listening to another podcast actually, with, you know, Brian Cox.
Oh yeah.
And they were talking about astronomy and what have you, and they were saying, like, what's the easiest way to get into it? And I thought, oh, I might do this, because recently my sister just brought me some stuff. I was saying, oh, I never really had, that were left by my dad, and she had a rattle around wardrobe and said, oh, it's a bag of stuff. And one thing that were in it were binoculars that he used to, if he went racing, he went to horse races.
All right, yeah.
He'd take these binoculars with him. So I've got them. And they said, you could start, that's one of the best ways to start, because telescope, yeah, it's quite a thing. You have to get used to it and seeing with one eye and zooming and focusing and all that. And the easiest thing is to pick a pair of binoculars. And apparently it's amazing how many constellations and things you can see on a good clear night with a pair of binoculars.
Yeah, which I've been on this holiday. We've been doing nature reserves and stuff, and Lindsay's got binoculars, and I bought a monoscope, which basically I bought it to link to my iPhone, because iPhone 15's got quite a good zoom, and then you can zoom it more and you attach it to your phone, but the birds don't sit and wait while you're attaching this to that and other, you know. It wasn't very successful. So I was looking at some, and there were some of the reserves that are like chained down for you to try, and you know, the binoculars were a lot easier to use than the monoscope.
Straight away, you just pick them up and you're off and running, aren't you? Yeah. Well, interestingly, on that last factoid that got us talking about all this travel, 2.5 million kilometres around the sun without realising it, they were saying, going back to your point about reality and stuff the other week, what's real, what ain't real, and all that, and they were saying there's certain things that it's all about perspective. So Brian Cox, he was saying, they got like a tennis ball like that, about that far above the table, dropped it, caught it, and says, has that come back to the same place? So you're like, what is he mad? And he's saying, well, it's all about perspective, really, because if you're sat next to me, you go, well, yeah, of course it did. I can see that it came back to the same place. But in that second, the Earth rotated by 18 miles, so the ball came back to a position 18 miles different to what it set off. If you were looking, if you had a big enough telescope and you were looking from space,
right,
you'd say, no, it's 18 miles further on.
Right, yeah.
Which is weird, isn't it, isn't it?
And you're thinking like that, yeah.
Anyway, have you got a joke for us this week?
I have a joke for you this week. So, as you know, I've been on holiday, and we're walking down the street in this little village, and this car drives by, and there's four young lads in it, the youths, I'm going to call them, and we're just walking past, and they drove by, and the next they came driving back past again, and one of them's got a window up, and he threw a block of hard cheese at me. And I picked it up and I looked at Lindsay and I said, well, that's not very mature.
All right, can I top that? I would think so. have you heard the one about the two hunters going out hunting deer, one of them collapses? Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't heard about the two hunters, one going out collapses.
So they're out in the forest, da-da-da. Bang, he turns around, look, his mate's collapsed on the floor. So he's panicking, he doesn't seem to have a pulse, he can't hear his breathing, so he's trying it, you know, CPR, everything, kiss of life, all that, nothing, totally shitting himself. So gets his phone out, rings 999, absolutely losing his mind, panicking. He's saying to the woman, listen, my mate's dead and I don't know what to do. So she says, look, just calm down, sir. First of all, take a deep breath, calm down, and let's first of all make sure that he is dead. So there's a silence, and there's pow, and he goes, right, okay, now what?
I think you choose, please.
Yeah, they could be equally as poor as this week. Yeah, maybe we should on that point.
Yeah.
Good night from you.
Yeah, it's a good night from me. Another interesting night there. We've certainly moved around a little bit.
Certainly, yeah.
This evening.
Okay. Episode 4 in the bag. Thanks very much. It's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Listening to the Complete Cobblers Podcast. Get involved. Leave us a voice note on Messenger or Instagram, or via the website completecobblers.com.